the stove, and tomorrow it's going to be 150 degrees if I let that thing run too long. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, H.B. London, of pastor to pastor fame, used to say at the end of every one of his writings in the pastor's weekly briefing, "Be blessed and be a blessing." So I decided one day to steal that from him. And you may have noticed after many services, I have said the same phrase, "Be blessed and be a blessing." And I stole it because it's a good thing to say. And what's interesting about it is that phrase, "be blessed and be a blessing," is God's promise and desire for a guy you may have heard of before named Abraham. You've heard of Abraham, right? Forefather of Israel. This was what God said to Abraham. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. This is the only verse that I have on the overhead tonight. I'll probably throw out a couple at you real quick if you're taking notes, but this is the only one that I've got. So Genesis 12, verse 2. This is God speaking to Abraham before his name was Abraham. He was still being called Abram, okay? "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." So there it is. I know I certainly didn't make up the phrase, and H.B. Lund didn't really make it up either. It was God to Abraham. "I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so that you in turn can be a blessing." And so it came to pass. God blessed Abraham in numerous ways. For instance, God blessed him with many direct descendants. And it started when he blessed his wife Sarah with a child named Isaac. Now, there's a lot going on here. The thing that we've got to remember is that Sarah was barren, meaning she couldn't have kids. And then she started getting older. I've realized you can't really stop that process. You get older, and there's really not a whole lot you can do about it. Well, Sarah was in the same boat. And one day, when she was already getting up there in age, God told Abraham, "Hey, you're going to have a son, Sarah. Sarah's going to have a son." And she started laughing. Remember that story? Yeah. Well, God's blessing, his promise, came true anyway. I believe she was around 90, if I remember correctly, give or take, when she had Isaac. And this was important, because Isaac is the son of the promise. God promised to give Abraham a son through Sarah. Isaac is that person. God blessed Sarah with a son. God didn't stop there, though. Isaac had a son named Jacob. You've probably heard of him. That would have been Abraham's grandson. Jacob wound up giving birth to the 12 tribes of Israel. Two of those tribes came through his son Joseph. But still, the 12 tribes of Israel, which of course became the nation of Israel. So God is blessing Abraham with many direct descendants, and then God blessed his direct descendants by giving them the promised land. You remember that, right? It's called the land of Canaan. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, better than anything they'd ever seen before. God told Abraham, "I'm going to give you that land." Abraham was long gone by the time Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. But God's blessing was still coming to fruition. He was fulfilling his promise to bless Abraham. And in this case, he's blessing him with many numerous direct descendants. Once again, though, it doesn't stop there. Abraham was also to be a blessing. The question we got to ask here is how? How was Abraham a blessing? And there are numerous answers to this. But ultimately, Abraham was a blessing because one of his offspring was named Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And of course, Jesus the Messiah was used by God the Father to do what? Reach the world for salvation. You see this in Genesis 22:18. "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Genesis 17:4. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations." So there's the blessing for his own nation, if you will, his own people, Israel. And then there's the blessing that he was going to be the father of many nations, which ultimately came to fruition through Jesus and, of course, his death and his resurrection. Jesus brings salvation to both Jew and Gentile. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile any longer, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. By the way, that goes for male and female, slave, free, barbarian, Scythian, whatever. We're all one in Christ. So the idea of racism is really a ridiculous thought, especially when a Christian, someone who claims to be a Christian, holds to that. You cannot be a Christian and be a racist. You can't be. If you are, you're either a very immature Christian and you need to grow, which is possible. So I am kind of contradicting myself here, but walk through this with me. You're either not born again because it's not the heart of Christ, or you're a new Christian, you're still learning the ropes and you need to mature, or there's some kind of deep-seated stronghold that needs to be destroyed in your life. There is neither slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, it doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ Jesus. It may have been Martin Luther King Jr. who said that the most segregated day of the week is Sunday. Right? You had black churches, you had white churches, you had Hispanic churches, right? I don't know. I don't think that that's really God's heart at the end of the day. Now, obviously, some areas you can't really have much of anything else. I pastored in a little town outside of Altoona that was probably 98 to 99% white, okay? Here's a different story. And I love, on a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, whatever, looking out on a congregation that is diverse yet unified because of the blood of Jesus. We talk a lot, I have been talking a lot about being the light of the world on Sunday mornings, okay? One of the best ways we can be the light is by showing the world that we can be diverse and love one another, right? I mean, that's the heart of Christ. Either way, God blessed Abraham, and then he blessed him to be a blessing, which ultimately came through his descendant, Jesus. You can trace Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Abraham. So he was blessed by God, and he was a blessing to the nations, which got me thinking, which could be dangerous sometimes. But in this case, I think we're okay. Romans chapter 4 speaks about how Abraham is the father of all, both Jew and non-Jew, who have put their faith in Jesus, the Messiah. Therefore, if you have put your faith in Jesus, the Messiah, not only are you born again, not only are you radically saved and heaven-bound, your sins are forgiven, however you want to say it, but you are now sons and daughters of Abraham through the blood of Jesus. And here's what got me thinking. If this was God's promise and his heart and his desire to Abraham to be blessed and to be a blessing, well, if we're his kids, then that's the same heart and desire for you and for me. God's heart is to bless you so that you would then be a blessing. And you see this throughout the scriptures in different ways. For instance, if you look at the days in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus blessed his people with healing and deliverance from demons. Jesus raised the dead. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good blessing. And we know of what? At least three where he did that. The widow's son, he raised Lazarus from the dead, which is probably one of the more famous stories in the Bible. You can't go in there. He's going to be smelly. Jesus is just shaking his head, and he's got to be thinking, you guys have no idea who I am, do you? Come on, Lazarus. And here comes Lazarus. He's coming out. Wow. And, of course, he raised the daughter of Jairus as well. So three instances where Jesus raises the dead. You talk about a blessing, especially to those families, right? As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly realms. You know how many blessings are every? It means every. Every blessing. Not just one or six or 20, but every blessing. How many blessings are there? I don't know. Paul gives us a few. For instance, in Ephesians 1, he tells us that he has chosen us. He's adopted us to be his sons and daughters. He has blessed us with hope, which of course is hope in the resurrection, hope in eternal life. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. We've been redeemed, we've been liberated, we've been set free. Shall I go on? Paul doesn't list them all. He lists a bunch. Here are some examples of every blessing that God has blessed you with in the heavenly realms. I would consider these to be, how do I call them? I guess foundational blessings. These are deep blessings. These are like core blessings. You think about redemption. You think about liberation and freedom and forgiveness. I mean, those are deep, deep things. Those are things that the world is crying out for. They're crying out for it, left and right, and they find it in so many different places. They find it in drugs, they find it in alcohol, they find it in other relationships, many times harmful relationships. They find it in fame. And some people chase fame so far that they go through what they're going through now in Hollywood. It's insanity, you know? They find it in politics, they find it in a cause, they find it in everything, they find it in sports. I don't anymore. Sick of sports. There's a reason for that, and if those of you who know me well enough, you know why. We will not speak of them in this place. Thank you. I'm not talking about the Eagles. I'm talking about the other ones that I used to like. I still like them. Yeah, get me saved here, please. I need salvation on this. These are foundational blessings that people are looking for all over the world. All over the world. And it's only found in Jesus. That's it. Let's be the light of the world. Right? Let's be a city on a hill that's not hidden. Right? Let's be Jesus. Either way, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. What's that old hymn? Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside, right? Yeah, there's a lot of them. And I bet you if I was to ask you to start listening to your blessings, you would be able to list a bunch of them. I bet you, even if you're going through a tough time, you'd still be able to list the blessings because you see how God's moving, even in the midst of that stuff. And I tell you what, that stuff can get kind of crazy at times. But God has blessed us with every blessing in the spiritual and the heavenly realms. Okay? Unfortunately, for some, I fear, that's where it ends. It's kind of like they sit on the couch. You know, if you sit on the couch long enough and you don't do anything, you start to become sort of sickly. You ever hear the term couch potato? Yeah, man. You become a potato. And I don't know, I like potatoes, but I don't know if I want to be a couch potato, right? I fear that a lot of Christians, or some Christians, I don't have a number, we're couch potatoes. We come, we sit in the pew, we sit in the chair, whatever it is. Feed me, I feel good. Praise God, pass the mustard, right? And then you go home. I'm not thinking of anybody specifically. I'm really not. But then you kind of do your own thing, and then you come back. You're like, feed me. Feed me. And the whole time you just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the blessings are all in there, and nothing's happening. I wonder, and a lot of times we blame the younger generations or certain political philosophies, but I think, I might get myself in trouble here, although not with any of you because you're all great and perfect, see? I think that there's such things as called a Christian entitlement, right? I want what I want, and I'm going to get it now. I'm entitled to this, you know? And then we sit, and we become couch potatoes, pew potatoes, pee-pee, pew potatoes. That's on CD for posterity's sake right there. That is not God's heart for us. It's not. That's not what he wants for us. See, like our father Abraham, God has blessed us so that we in turn can be a blessing to other people. If you get a chance someday, you don't have to do this at all, but if you get a chance, go look at a map of the Jordan River. See, there's two lakes. There's the Sea of Galilee to the north. There's the Dead Sea to the south. There is the Jordan comes into the Sea of Galilee from the north, exits the Sea of Galilee to the south, comes into the Dead Sea, and then it doesn't go anywhere. That's it. The Sea of Galilee, if you remember correctly, in the New Testament, was a fisherman's haven. Jesus ministered in and around the Sea of Galilee all the time. Guys like Peter and James and John were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. It was a place of life. It was a place of freshness. It was a place of food and sustenance, right? The Dead Sea is, well, it's dead. It's so dead that you could go float on the water, like not normal water. There's no life in the Dead Sea. And one of the greatest illustrations I've ever heard is the reason is because the water comes into the Sea of Galilee and comes out, but the Dead Sea just collects it and dies. And I think it's a great illustration of how we as Christians can die a slow death choking on our blessings because we never pour them out to other people. Remember, God is blessing us so that we can be a blessing. Do you want to be the Sea of Galilee? Healthy? Full of fish? I don't know, take it as far as you want. Or do you want to be dead? I wonder, and I don't know. I have no idea. I don't. I suppose it could be a part of the thing. But if churches are dying, I wonder if it's just because we become entitled and we become nothing but big old spiritual fat couch potatoes, honestly. That's not God's heart. It's not heart for us, his heart for us here at Emmanuel. It's not his heart for our brothers and sisters anywhere along the road. He's blessing us so that we can be a blessing. So here's a question. How can we be a blessing to others? Well, how much time do you have? Right? We can read the whole Bible from cover to cover and probably come up with thousands of different ways that we can bless other people. I'll narrow it down. Just so we're here for about 6 hours instead of a whole 24. How about doing something like what Jesus said? Loving our neighbors. Remember that? Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's the greatest commandment. Right? The first one's the greatest commandment. There's one just like it. I believe they go hand in hand. You can't really love God with all of your heart if you're not loving your neighbor. Okay? Loving our neighbor is a great way to be a blessing, whatever that looks like in your situation. It could be picking someone up for church. It could be praying for somebody that you've met for, you know, 2 minutes in a supermarket. It could be ministering to your neighbor who's maybe a little homebound and needs someone to mow the lawn for free because they don't have any money. I don't know. Of course, it could be sharing the gospel. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about Jesus. Either way, loving our neighbors as we would love ourselves. What a great way to be a blessing and to use the blessings that God has given us. Think about the gifts of the Spirit for a second. I'll go off on a little tangent here. The gifts of the Spirit are given by God to us so that we can do what? Edify or build up the body of Christ. Now, you can build up the body of Christ, obviously, from the inside out and from the outside in. What I mean by that is, many of the gifts are to minister to the body itself, right? And you think of maybe a gift of administration or something along those lines. Then there are gifts that are ministering to the body of Christ that are not yet part of the body of Christ. Evangelism is one of those gifts. An evangelist's job is not to go and necessarily minister to Christians. They can, and they do, but the evangelist is called to go and do what? Share the good news and build up the body of Christ with those who don't know Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit are a blessing. Anybody in here ever receive a gift before? Yeah, what's the greatest gift you ever received? Anybody? Outside, now don't get spiritual on me, okay? Salvation. Well, okay, yeah, we can all say that. Outside of that, what's the greatest gift you ever got? Anybody? Go ahead. Okay, so prayer. What else? Oh, she's pointing to the husband. He didn't even know it. He's just sitting there like this, and she's pointing to him. It's that Viking fan in the back. Go ahead. Your son? Cool. You guys are all much more spiritual than me. Mine's probably a guitar or a car or something like that. Go ahead. Getting saved. Very good. Gifts are good. They're blessings. The gifts of the Spirit are to be used like Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. We all have gifts that we can use. Let's not sit on the gifts.
Let's use them. Whether you're ushering on a Sunday morning or you're going to share Jesus with a neighbor because you're having a cup of coffee with them and you want to tell them about Christ. And everything in between. Let's use our gifts to be blessings to others. And of course, we can be a blessing to one another. We don't want to miss that. Jesus also said, love one another as I have loved you. He's speaking specifically of disciples loving disciples there. Loving your neighbor covers everybody. All right. And you ask the question, who's your neighbor? I think the answer to that is anybody that you rub shoulders with. Could be in the post office. It could be someone you've lived next to for 30 years. Loving one another as Christ loved us. That's talking about loving the church, loving the body of Christ. We can bless one another. You know what blesses me? And I was thinking about this today. Not too long ago. It was today. And I was thinking about how this Sunday, I think it was a wonderful service. We had a good time in worship. We had a good time in the Word, a good time of prayer. And then we ended. And like nobody left. Now, I'm being maybe a little exaggerated there, but people, I don't know if you've noticed, but after church, people are hanging out with each other. People are having a cup of coffee before and maybe after. They're talking with each other. They're meeting people. That's a good thing. We're blessing each other. It could be simple, but sometimes somebody might just need a hug or a handshake or someone to say hi to them. You have no idea, nor do I, what something like that or how far something like that goes. Somebody come here on a Sunday morning, they've been coming to this church for 137 years. I think we have people who've been coming to this church for 137 years. I won't point any fingers or say any names, right? And they love Jesus. But that day, man, they're down. And you come up and you give them a hug or you say, hey, how can I pray for you? Or just smile and talk with them. That could lift their spirits right in the middle of whatever it is. See, that blesses me to watch that. It does. It really does. To 15 minutes after we're done and I'm looking around and there's still, you know, 40 people here. Of course, the people who have to lock up aren't very happy because they want to get out to lunch, right? But that's another story. So anyway, that's a blessing for me to see. I think God is blessing this church with that. A deeper fellowship, a deeper unity. And come on, let's not spiritualize that stuff. We're unified by the blood of Jesus. Well, that's true. We're unified by the Spirit, which is true. We're to keep the unity of the Spirit. And those things are very true, and they're very important. But to me, that's kind of a spiritualization of something that's very easy to understand. Maybe the better way to say it is, what does the unity of the blood of Jesus look like? What does the unity of the Spirit look like? It means that you're actually hanging out together. You're actually fellowshipping, talking to one another, praying for one another, loving one another, going after God together. Could be here, could be on a life group, a Sunday school class, whatever. That, to me, is what real unity looks like. It's a very practical thing. I think God is doing it in a very real way here at this church. So, we have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been blessed to be a blessing. Go ahead and look at your neighbor right now, sit next to you. Say, be blessed and be a blessing. Yeah. Now look to your other neighbor. Say the same thing. You might not have another neighbor. I don't know. But hey, that's fine. That's it. Hey, Hesham's getting into it now. Right? This is God's call on our lives. Being blessed to be a blessing. I love this story. There's a part of me that thinks I brought this message tonight just because I want to share this story. At age 16, Andor Foldes was already a skilled pianist, but he was experiencing a troubled year. In the midst of the young Hungarian's personal struggles, one of the most renowned pianists of the day came to Budapest. Emil von Sauer was famous not only for his abilities, he was also the last surviving pupil of the great Franz Liszt. Von Sauer requested that Foldes play for him. Foldes obliged with some of the most difficult works of Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann. When he finished, Von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. My son, he said, when I was your age, I became a student of Liszt. He kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, take good care of this kiss. It comes from Beethoven, who gave it to me after hearing me play. Now get this, you ready? I have waited for years to pass on this sacred heritage, but but now I feel you deserve it. Isn't that something? Let it resonate. Here's a guy, great, brilliant pianist. He's struggling. Von Sauer, one of the greatest living at the time, passed it on. Beethoven to Liszt to Sauer to Foldes. That's it. Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 tribes to Jesus to us. Who are we going to pass it on to? Be blessed to be a blessing. Sound good? Let's go ahead and stand together. Be thinking about how you can do this. Now, you may already be doing it, and that wouldn't surprise me at all, because you guys are great and perfect. Okay, you're great. You're great. So think, though, what is it that God is calling you, how he's calling you to be that blessing? And you don't have to be Billy Graham, right? You've heard of Reinhard Bonnke, anybody in here, you know, preaching to millions? You don't have to be Reinhard. It's okay. You be you. And let God use you the way he wants to use you so you can bless others. Father, we thank you for, well, adopting us into the very family of Abraham. We are sons and daughters of Abraham through faith in Jesus. And truly, there is no Jew nor Greek any longer. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the honor of that adoption. And we thank you for the honor because it is a blessing. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And our prayer here tonight is that we would not grow spiritually fat and couch potatoed with these blessings, but instead, Lord, we'd pass them on. We'd find someone and give them a kiss on the forehead. We'd find someone and pray for them and pour our lives into them, love on them, whatever it might be. Use us, Lord, to be light to one another, and use us to be light to the world outside that is so hidden in darkness. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, be blessed and be a blessing. There you go.